Welcome to Manager Tools. Trinity Frequently Asked Questions number 1. Why wait 3 weeks to start? Here we go. This cast answers these questions. Why do I need to wait 3 weeks before starting one-on-ones? Can I start doing one-on-ones immediately? How fast can I start doing one-on-ones? If you want answers to these questions and more, keep listening.
Finally, after years of waiting, The Effective Manager in book form is available at Amazon and Barnes & Noble and your other retail booksellers, as well as signed copies are available on our website, manager-tools.com. If you want to know the basics of how to manage others effectively in book format, including Kindle and ebook format as well, we encourage you to buy, read, and then implement the guidance in The Effective Manager.
Well, this question comes up all the time at conferences, as you know, Danny.
Yes.
And rightly so, right? People listen, they learn about one-on-ones and just absolutely how powerful they can be in transforming your relationship with Drex. And one-on-ones are all about relationships, right? So, and then we tell them, wait 3 weeks before you start.
Don't start, yeah.
And it's like, I just bought this camera. I just brought a new Fujifilm X-Pro2 camera. Okay, I love this. And I can't imagine having ordered this camera, having it show up in the mail, and then reading the instructions and say, wait 3 weeks before you start using your camera. That would drive me crazy.
We spend quite a bit of time in the morning at our Effective Manager Conference talking about why one-on-ones are so powerful, the underlying principles, and why they make such a difference. And, you know, most people, by the time we get through that and we teach them how to do it, they're like, oh, I get it. Great. And then at lunch, we say, so now don't start for 3 weeks.
Yeah, exactly.
And they're like, wait, what?
By the way, for those of you who don't do one-on-ones or don't know what they are, then we won't spend, we've talked about it ad nauseum on our podcast. So there's lots of podcasts. So I encourage you to go to the website or go to the Manage Tools Basics in iTunes or wherever you get your podcast and listen about one-on-ones. You'll be glad you did. Regardless, if you're not doing one-on-ones, don't tune out immediately because a lot of what we're going to cover today applies to any kind of managerial change you roll out. It could be one-on-ones, it could be anything. And so even if you're not doing one-on-ones today, there's values to this podcast. So, all right, sorry, Danny. I want to say that before people tune out.
I think it's smart because the same principle is woven throughout our entire rollout for the Trinity one-on-ones feedback, coaching, and delegation, which is tell your people ahead of time, explain it to them, give them time to process it and think about it and ask questions before you start. If you, as a manager, just start doing a bunch of new stuff in the way that you manage, it will freak your people out and actually be very counterproductive.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's true for all of our tools.
Yeah, I've done it. It doesn't work well.
Doesn't work. We've watched tons of managers do it for years and based on all of that, we recommend that you wait 3 weeks after you decide you're going to start one-on-ones. You wait 3 weeks. And we have a couple of reasons. So the first reason is the three-week time frame allows time for your schedule to clear. The second is it allows time for your direct schedules to clear because they're busy too. Third reason, which I kind of alluded to, it gives you time to brief your directs to explain it to them. It also gives you time to answer their questions individually because some people may not want to ask questions in a group setting. They might want to talk to you more one-on-one. And then our last point is we do have an exception, which is new team members. So we'll talk about that.
Okay. So let's talk about the manager's schedule clearing. What's the deal there? And it's pretty obvious you're a manager because you're booked, right?
If we told people, you know, hey, start one-on-ones next week, people would look at their calendars, managers would look at their calendars, and they would see that next week, and they would say, are you kidding me? I don't have time. Because they look at their calendar, and they see, you know, 80, 90% of the time next week is already scheduled, it's already booked. And they'd just throw up their hands and say, well, forget it. I can't start next week, so, you know, what's the point? Or, and this might be even a little bit worse, if they really believe that one-on-ones would be helpful and valuable, and they decide they were going to do them, then they would say, well, I'll just force it, right? I'll just make it happen. And there are times that you can do that, but really it takes probably someone with better than average calendar skills or an admin who can really kind of make things work on your calendar and who knows how to communicate things to other people that you're moving around or other meetings that you're moving around to know what can wait until next week, right? Until after you start one-on-ones. So there's a lot of built-in benefit to waiting rather than forcing it onto your calendar.
Yeah, forcing. I mean, we all struggle with that, right? There's 15 things on my calendar this week and I don't get to them, right? I for whatever reason, my boss calls me into her office or some emergency meeting gets scheduled and, you know, stuff disappears off my calendar. So the idea of forcing more, like force fitting it into my calendar, just seems pretty difficult.
Yeah. I mean, it's difficult for us as the one with the calendar that's being forced. But if we think about from the point of view of our directs, right, you tell them, hey, I'm going to start this new thing called one-on-ones and I'm really excited about it. I think it's going to be great.
Because you're important, because I want to develop a relationship with you, right? These are all the things right. You're going to tell them.
Right. And then you force it. And because you're forcing it and you're feeling the stress and the pressure of something new and you're trying to push it on your calendar and all of the stress that comes along with moving all of that other stuff around, there's probably a pretty good chance that you're going to stumble a little bit. It's not going to be very smooth.
Or you don't even do it, right? Something comes up and you find out that you tried to force it, but you couldn't make it work. So now you've told somebody, right? You just told somebody you want to develop a relationship with them. And the most important thing you're going to do on your calendar is schedule one-on-ones with them. And then the very first one, you end up canceling. Okay, that's not a good start.
Yeah, not only do you get no value from doing that, it's actually pretty risky. Like your directs are going to ding you. They're not going to say, oh, he tried. Let's give him credit for trying. And it just didn't work out. But maybe next week he'll do better. Directs do not think that. What they're going to say is, oh, well, yeah.
Here we go
once again.
Here we go again.
We've been here before.
Went to a managerial conference, got excited, came back and announced a bunch of stuff and nothing's going to change.
And nothing's going to change, right? Shiny for a couple of days, and then it's back to the same old
thing. Squirrel.
Squirrel. So the second reason is that your directs, they have pretty full schedules too. Maybe not as full as ours, right? As managers, that's probably a pretty good general rule. But they're still busy. They still have things scheduled. And even if our directs' calendars are not as full as ours, they feel like they are. So, you know, kind of trying to argue with them on that is probably not a great idea.
Well, yeah, and they feel that way because you're the manager. You have control over yours. But I'm the direct. I have less control. And so it feels a lot worse, right? And now and now you're impinging on that. You're taking control even more by force fitting another meeting into their schedule.
Yeah, they see us as managers as having more ability to move stuff around. And I think that's true. I mean, you know, when I think about it, I probably move stuff around more with my directs than I do with you or Mark, right?
That's
right.
Well, that's the difference, right? I have more, as a manager, I have more control over moving things around, my directs things, not necessarily mine because I'm answering to somebody, but I get to exercise my flexibility by messing with my directs calendar. Wonderful. They love that, by the way.
Yeah. They will feel that sense of, hey, you have more control. And not having the relationship that you get from the one-on-ones and not knowing exactly what you intend with your one-on-ones, your directs won't see their calendars the same way as you do when you look at them. Like they just don't see it having as much openness on theirs as you do. So the fact is really almost nobody's calendar, except for maybe like really senior, super senior people, is full for more than 2 or 3 weeks out into the future. We ask people this every week at our conference. Raise your hand if you can tell me what's on your calendar next week. Everybody raises their hand. Raise your hand if you can tell me what's on your calendar 3 weeks from now. And people are like, nah, no, not really. And part of that is that we just don't think that far ahead. But part of that is, too, is that there's not a lot there, except for vacations, right? That's the exception. People always raise their hand when they're going on vacation.
Yeah, and the key part of this, I mean, one is just being able to make this happen. But the other thing is dealing with objections of your directs, because your directs are busy and they're going to push back a little bit about the idea of you taking another half an hour, a whole half an hour of their week in the future. And if you tell them you're going to start tomorrow, they say, like, I got so much stuff going on behind us, there's no way I can do it.
Right.
But if you say 3 weeks later, they're like, okay. I mean, they can't, their calendar's not full. They can't argue either internally within their head or with you. So part of the 3 weeks is this whole calendar thing that Danny's talking about, is making it easy for the direct to say, okay, yeah, we can make that work.
Yeah, it's a little preemptive, right? To head off the I don't have time objection.
That's right.
So our third point is that the 3 weeks gives you time to brief your directs. So we've said this a lot before. In fact, there's a podcast on this. Never introduce a managerial change without first introducing that managerial change. And what that means is, don't do something different. Don't change how you manage without first explaining to people the change, walking them through it, explaining to them what you're going to be doing and why. And, you know, none of us, I think, likes to think about it, but most directs probably are going to generally respond to your changes with a little bit of suspicion, a little bit of defensiveness. And it's totally understandable, because I'm sure I'm not the only one who has, you know, Mike, like you said, shiny, come back excited about something. Oh, we're going to do this. And 2 or 3 weeks go by and you just fall back into your old habits.
Right. We had one of those conversations yesterday. I think I concluded by saying, I hope this is not one of those shiny things. And right. 3 weeks from now, we haven't done anything. And you proved me wrong. You actioned it almost immediately. But, you know, it's interesting. We hear from people who, they disregard our advice about briefing the managerial change, and they decide to just, it's so great. I'm just going to meet with people. How can people respond negatively to that? They want more of my time. So I'm just going to start doing one-on-one. So they tell all their directs, hey, I'm going to start meeting with you once a week, 30 minutes. And they tell them individually. And they don't brief the group. They don't brief why they're doing it. And, you know, anybody listen to this, if your boss said, hey, look, I want to start meeting with you once a week just to check up on things. Like, how are you going to react? Like, you're in trouble, right? That's what happens in traditional, in a lot of organizations. I shouldn't say traditional, in a lot of organizations today, if you start meeting with your boss every week, just you and her and just to chat, it's not a good sign, right?
No, it's not. It's even the most benign outcome, I think, Mike, is going to be, people are going to be talking about it, right? Like, your director will be, you know, around the water cooler. What's going on? Why is she doing this? What is somebody in trouble? Who's in trouble? Is she in trouble? Are we in trouble? Maybe there's going to be layoffs. I mean, they'll start making stuff up. If you don't give them information, they'll make up their own reason to explain it. Because human beings, we want to understand the reasons why things are happening.
Yeah, that's why we have the sun god and the
right. So explanations. And at the very least, even if that isn't, you know, if what they're saying isn't negative, which is my experience, usually it is, but at the very least, that's time that they're sitting around gossiping, which means they're not working. So it's just not a good situation. And I think that the chances of it not taking a negative note with your directs, with our directs, is pretty small. I think most of the time they're going to assume the worst.
Yeah, some hidden dark rationale. And look, we're sure you're a nice person, but your directs don't see you as a nice person. At least that's not their first thought. Their first thought is, you're the boss, right? And you control their addiction to food, shelter, and clothing. And they're not inclined to take whatever you do, whatever changes you roll out, and think about it in the most positive way possible.
No. The role power of being the boss, it skews our relationships with our directs. And we tend, as managers, we tend to overrate our relationship with our directs. We tend to think of it as being better than it is compared to our directs. And so it's good for us to remember that, because I had this happen recently. I was at a conference with Kate, and I've known Kate, oh my gosh, 15 years. And she said at the conference, she said, yeah, Danny used to be nice, but now she's my boss. I was like, yeah. I mean, And I get what she's saying. I mean, it's, you know, it makes me a little sad, but I totally understand what she's saying, and I understand why she's saying it. So the importance of rolling this out and briefing your people and explaining it to them, to say, here's why I'm doing it. And also to explain to them the logistics of how it's going to work and the agenda and what's expected of them, what you're going to be doing, what they ought to come prepared for. It just makes it smoother. And that's probably not a conversation or a meeting that you can just call tomorrow, because again, people's calendars are busy. So it's going to take a few days to get that meeting scheduled, particularly if you don't already have a regularly scheduled weekly staff meeting, which we recommend you do. But if you don't, you're going to need time to get that meeting scheduled. You're going to need some time to prepare your presentation, right? You're just not just going to throw together something really quickly in 5 minutes before the meeting, particularly when this is one of the most important things that you're ever going to do in your job as a manager, in your role as a manager. So give yourself time to put it together, to get it scheduled, and get prepared so that you do it right and you increase the chances that you do it well.
Yeah, exactly. Now, it's interesting. Our next point is an important one. And I think this is one of those things I think about is important to any kind of change management exercise. I think a lot of managers feel that if they put the briefing together, and it's a good briefing, they get everybody together and they do this formal presentation, that is sufficient, that somehow that they've communicated what's going on and everybody's on board. Because of course, not everybody, but most of the time, people nod their heads and they look like they're agreeing with you because they know you want them to agree with you. And that's what happens. And only when you start talking to people individually do you start to understand their objections and the things they don't understand, and you're able to address them. And this is a mistake a lot of managers make, is failing to meet with folks individually, doing the group briefing, but then talking to each individual and finding out what their concerns are, things that they might not bring up in a group, because of course, not everybody's an outgoing, direct speaking person like you all who are listening. So
yeah. I think this is probably one of my biggest weaknesses. Being a high D, I'm like, I have a list of things to talk to my team about. And I tell them and I brief them and I check it off and I'm done.
We're good.
We're all good, right? I explained it to you. Boom. We're done.
And you may even say that to them. You may at the end of the meeting, we're all good, right?
And we're all good, nod their heads. Everybody understand. No questions. Everybody's good. And it's really been a big learning curve for me on this that Mark and I have talked a lot about over the last year and a half, that you know, you can't just say stuff. And I'm like, I know this, right? I mean, we say this at conferences all the time. And we said it on the podcast how many times, if you tell your people something 7 times, half of them remember hearing it once, or right? And I'm just like, no, I told them. Mark's like, yeah, but you got to tell them again. So part of it is that they'll have questions that they don't feel comfortable asking in a group. But part of it is too, is that they didn't hear everything you said. They may have been in the meeting looking at you, nodding their head, but they were thinking about that project that's waiting for them back at their desk, or they were thinking about something going on at home. And so maybe they only heard 70% of what you said. And so going back and talking individually with everybody during that 3 weeks, really, really good idea.
Yeah. And the best time to talk about it is during the one-on-one. Oh, wait a minute. You haven't started one-on-ones yet. Oh, but once you start doing one-on-ones, you'll have a place for these kind of conversations in the future. Just
beautiful
saying.
The way that works.
Just saying. Okay.
So we do have one exception, which is the new team members. So say you've already rolled out one-on-ones with the rest of your team and you're rocking and rolling. And then lucky you get a new team member, you get a new hire, or somebody gets moved to your team. In this case, this is the exception where you don't need to have that 3 week gap, that 3 week pause, because you can start immediately with that new person.
Now, why is that? What's different about this situation?
Yeah. So, I mean, for you, you're only adding 1 half-hour block to your calendar. You can probably do that fairly easily without figuring out 3 weeks from now. But, you know, you're probably not going to find out you have a new person starting on Monday and they start on Monday. You're probably going to have, I would imagine in most situations, this is true for me, Mike, anyway, several weeks of notice that you're going to have somebody new starting. So you can add that to your calendar pretty easily. And you don't need as much time. And the new hire, your new direct, they don't have a schedule yet.
Yeah, they don't have a calendar. They may not even have a computer. It's good.
Right. I mean, really, their first few days, their time is essentially yours, because They don't have meeting schedule. Now you might have a couple of things that are typical first week onboarding stuff. But even in organizations where I worked, where there was a very robust orientation that involved actually like traveling to the headquarters and being there for 3 or 4 days orientation, very rarely was that the first week. It was usually somewhere, you know, between weeks 2 and 5 or something like that. So typically their first week, they've got nothing. So you can just say, hey, this is when we're going to meet and do our one-on-ones. I think then after what I tell people after conferences is once they've been on board for a while or, you know, a couple of weeks and their calendar's starting to fill out, you can always reschedule. They can pick another time at that point. But anytime I've had a new person start, I say, you know, how about we do it Tuesdays at 1? Does that work for you? And then once their schedule starts to get a little bit more settled, we move it around if we need to. But we don't have to wait 3 weeks. We start right away.
And of course, you want to tell them what you're doing, why you're doing it. So we, you know, when we talk about rolling out the one-on-ones, we have a deck we tell people, go ahead and use. If you come to conference, here's the deck. Use this to brief your team. And so, of course, you don't have to make a big to-do about it. You can just, you know, schedule a specially scheduled meeting with your new direct. You don't need a lot of time to schedule that.
Yeah, you don't bring the whole team together and then brief the new person in front of the whole team. That would be a little weird. Mike encouraged the rest of my directs to talk to the new person about one-on-ones and share with them, you know, what they like about it and what works and kind of what they do and what they talk about during the one. And I would encourage my new person, my new direct, hey, go and talk to the rest of the team. I'm guessing this is probably something new. You may not have had a boss do this with you before. Feel free to talk to your colleagues about their experiences with one-on-ones. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we have a podcast, One-on-Ones for the Direct, that you could email the link to that podcast and say, if you want to learn more about kind of what to expect and what this is going to be like, here's a podcast. So we've done the work for you.
Easy, easy peasy.
Easy peasy. All right. So waiting is hard, yeah. especially for us high D, high I's. We want to go now. We want to start now. But, you know, beginnings are delicate things and going too fast, too soon increases the chance that it's not going to go well. And so don't stack the deck against yourself. Why start the most important thing, the most important managerial activity that you are ever going to do? Why start it poorly if you can prevent it?
Yeah. Go use your new camera immediately. See, it's a mechanical device, right?
It's not a person.
Organizations are not mechanizations. They're organizations because they have organisms in them. And people don't respond the way that cameras do. So take your time, get it right, and then reap the rewards going forward for a long, long time.
Awesome.
Thanks, Danny.
Thanks, Mike.
We'll see you.
All right.
Bye. Thanks, everyone. That's it for this week. We'll see you again next week. Have a great one. So long. If you enjoyed this podcast and you want the how-tos of management wherever you are, check out the free Manager Tools mobile app. It's available on both iOS and Android devices. Go to the Apple Store or the Google Play Store and download the Manager Tools app. Just search for Manager Tools in the respective store or go to the Manager Tools website, www.manager-tools.com, and you'll find the links on the bottom of the homepage. Once you've installed the Manager Tools app, you'll have access to all the Manager Tools and Career Tools shows anytime, anywhere you want. With easy searching of podcasts by category, using the map of the universe, or using built-in search functions, it couldn't be easier. Additionally, if you're a Manager Tools personal licensee, you'll have easy access to all the show notes right from the app whenever you want. Go to the App Store and download the Manager Tools mobile app. You'll be happy you did.